Welcome to another episode of Conduct Detrimental. Dan Lust back on the mic this week with my guy, Colin Farrell. Colin, before we get started, you going to ask me anything?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, wish you first. I texted you so everyone doesn't think that I'm just throwing this out here for clout. No, I did individually text you and wish you a nice happy birthday. So how was, what are we sticking to this year, 27 or 28? What birthday was it for you, Mr. Lust?
You know, lawyers, ethically, we are obliged to tell the truth. I'm 35 this year. I officially feel, I feel a little bit old here. I got two kids. You got shit piling up. Colin, we should mention, you said happy birthday to me. And what was my response to you?
I think you said something like, thank you, Blue, referencing my referencing my other side career here as one of the best umpires on the East Coast. So, yes, it was taken. It was a funny response. But 35 is a big number. No, I was in the middle of doing stuff. You know what I mean?
No, it's all good. For the listeners, Colin and I, we try to record consistently, but Colin is a very busy man on his job scene and the umping scene. So, yes. Yeah, Colin, are you doing softball, baseball, t-ball? What are you doing?
No, I mean, when I was out in Chicago at my parents' house and throughout May into early June, I did a lot of softball out there. And I'll be honest, I tell everybody, they always ask what I like better. Even having played college baseball, my answer is always going to be softball. Softball games are quicker. There's more action. And there's less drama, maybe, from the players and coaches. There's still some. But baseball players have really gotten into this pompous, woe is me mindset where they can't be called for a strike or they're just going to turn around and stare at you. And believe me, Dan, I don't know if I should be sharing these statistics on air here. We're going to get into some other interesting ones down the show. But I've already tossed three kids this summer, and I'm actively seeking more. So, yeah, you want to run your mouth. You're going to be running your mouth all the way to the car. And that's just how I like to call things. So I call them straight and respect the game, respect the umpires, all the coaches, officials. Think about this. Again, I'm not making, $100,000 a season. So I'm out here. I'm efforting my time. I'm calling the game fair, calling the game straight up. And if you don't like the part.
Your version of fair. But how big are these kids? Are these kids bigger than you?
Everything from, size? Yeah, from 10U up to – I did actually a 7-year-old game all the way up to college baseball the other day. So,
are you throwing 7-year-olds out of the game?
No, not 7-year-olds. The lowest age kid I threw out was 13. So once you're 13, you should have an awareness of what can be said on the baseball field and what's across the line.
Once you have your bar mitzvah, in Colin's eyes, you're a man, and you get thrown out.
If you're a teenager, you're the start of a man, especially in your baseball career. You've been on the field for probably 6-7 years at that point. You should know what's called for and what's completely uncalled for. But let's enough about our lives. Our lives don't really matter that much. Let's get into the lives of sports law.
Our lives definitely matter. I got one other piece of business to do before we get started. So if I know a lot of people listen to the podcast, don't follow us on social. I started a new endeavor this past week. I am now hosting, because Colin and I just love hosting shows so much, a show called Sports Better Court. It's going to be streaming on Better Sports Network. That's every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. So if you didn't get enough of us here, that's a pure betting show. Colin, I'd say it's loosely inspired by my and your banter. I think there's definitely an audience for sports betting, but in the legal framework. So you can, if you want more details on that, just check out my Twitter. I have the info pinned to my page. Okay, Colin, three topics as far as I can tell. One, we just missed. We recorded last week. I recorded with Matt Timpanic and Justin Mader. We just missed this one. Northwestern fires Pat Fitzgerald. We'll get into that. A little bit of Monday morning quarterback, so to say. We're going to get into a story that broke maybe the day after, so we tend to just miss the stuff. But John Gruden, it's a story by Don Van Etten, Seth Wickersham over at ESPN. Time schedules permitting, we're expected to have Don Van Etten of ESPN, one of the main guys over there, senior reporter there. We're going to have him on the podcast, I think, on Thursday. Episode should go up on Friday or Monday, but you and I will touch upon it briefly. Those are the two biggest stories in sports. Maybe the third biggest is this we'll say eminent domain of the NFL taking control of the New York Jets. Colin, you got that one?
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot to say on that one because it's coming. Whether the NFL is prepared for it or NFL fans in general, the dominance of the gangrene, the green and white in 2023 is very rapidly approaching. So, yes, I'm excited. I have some points to make, but yes, Hard Knocks in Florham Park coming August 8th, episode one. So very exciting stuff going on right there. So are we sticking college first and then are we going to move the NFL with Gruden or do we want to go John Gruden first?
Let's go Gruden first. Let me do a quick synopsis here. Actually, Conlon, you did your homework. We had this huge report that dropped last week by Don and Seth. What was your biggest takeaway upon reading this lovely synopsis? It was more like a dossier. It was a lot of information here.
Yeah, it's certainly article out right now on ESPN.com. Check it out. Maybe even thread it, the link to it in this tweet when we drop the audio tomorrow. But I just think my first initial thought is John Gruden still got it. Still a football guy, still got it. He is not going to just take his medicine and go home, take his ball and go home, if you will. He is, I'm sure, going to sit there with his visor on, you know, the amazing Frank Caliendo when he's got his impressions of him. I'm pretty sure he's sitting there thinking that the quote that stuck out to me the most, that John Gruden, after all the said and done, is going to burn, quote, the NFL's house down after the hand he was dealt in regards to his firing, or actually more forcible resignation, right? Because he was never actually terminated. He resigned after a phone call that involved Mark Davis, and Roger Goodell and company regarding the emails that were leaked throughout the Washington Commanders scandal. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting – break it down further for me, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of nuggets here. The fact that Gruden wants to burn it to the ground, I think we've kind of known. I think he's let it known. He wants to go scorched earth here. I'll give you my three biggest takeaways, and if you missed it, maybe we'll link it in the show notes. My opening monologue, which I'm not a monologue guy. I'm like a co-host situation guy. I did a monologue on the Gruden stuff, so I have that certainly top of mind. A couple things, big takeaways, and then we'll kind of unpack the analysis. We are still of the, actually, you'll probably like this. My daughter, Conlon, is my oldest, is 3 and a half. My youngest, actually, I should have mentioned this. Happy belated birthday to my daughter, Sloan. My birthday is July 15th. My daughter, my two-year-old's birthday is July 16th. So we go back-to-back last weekend. Yes. Now we had a Saturday, Sunday. A lot of lust. But anyway. My daughters love Scooby-Doo. And also, Loki, they love Scrappy. But they love Scrappy-Doo. And people,
that's where I draw the
people
line.
Don't like Scrappy-Doo. But my daughters, they need the Scrappy-Doo episodes. So, just throwing it out there. So we got a little bit of mystery on our hands. 650,000 emails, a little bit of a recap here. 650,000 emails are in the possession of this lawyer, Beth Wilkinson, who's investigating the Washington Commanders. So she finishes her investigation. This is the whole... Where's the written report? Why is it only an oral report? So notwithstanding the fact that she doesn't do a written report, at some point she's in possession of 650,000 emails. So these emails at the end of this investigation are given to the NFL. And this is a lot of Don and Seth's reporting. Again, I highly implore you to look at the story. But again, of those emails, a handful are flagged as something like the NFL might want to take a second look at. And of those flagged emails, there's the John Gruden emails. And the John Gruden emails are racist, misogynistic, homophobic, whatever, you name it. So the question as to how those emails got released to the New York Times and Wall Street Journal has been a mystery since then. It's about 3 years. Okay, let's how our Scooby-Doo comes in. We're trying to figure out who the leaker is, right? They got the cartoon mask on. We're trying to figure out, we pull it off, who we get. Option number one has always been Dan Snyder. Hey, while you're investigating me for my toxic workplace, why don't we look at some of these disgusting emails by John Gruden? So that's always, at least on social media, but theory number one. Before we calmly get to this, you're a good betting guy here. What are the odds you put at John Gruden what are the odds that you put at Dan Snyder being the leak here? Just give me your calmly.
Oh, Dan Snyder being the leak at the Better Edge Sportsbook World Casino. I would say Dan Snyder minus 480 is the leak.
Minus 480. Okay. Let me try to talk you off that as some other bets here.
Well, you should have all the avenues first and then have me settle.
No. I wanted to do it like this. I want to give you my story because a lot of people think that. And we should say our show is sponsored by Better Edge, our friends over there, Greg Kajewski. Use a promo code CONDUCT for $20 on sign up. Now, 480, Con, let me see if I can talk you off this. the two new suspects that are introduced in this story by Don Vanette and Seth Wickersham are, number one, DeMaurice Smith, the executive director of the NFLPA. He was one of the targets of this particular Gruden emails. Gruden said some, people can read it, I'm not going to say it, a racist comment to describe DeMaurice Smith, and also called him Dumerus Smith, like D-U-M Dumerus, whatever, juvenile, whatever he does. So why would DeMaurice Smith be the leaker? Apparently that day, or within like 48 hours of the emails being leaked to the Wall Street Journal, he was up for a vote amongst the NFLPA for an extension. So the theory goes, he leaked the emails to potentially get some sympathy, and that vote, I think, has one vote. Colin, if that wasn't enough, ESPN, a highly sourced article, they basically have a 100% track record. I don't want to say that, but they've been pretty good. They say, according to one of their sources, DeMaurice Smith has been out there bragging about being a leak. Colin, you still like that minus 480 bet on Dan Snyder?
No, I think that comes in. I think the little late offshore money comes in right there after that is broken down. Very well done out of you, Mr. Lust. So, yeah, let's go. I still think that might just be too easy. DeMaurice Smith, I don't know. Dan Snyder's finally out in Washington. I mean, I feel like as long as conduct's been around, that has been one of our tentpole topics, if you will. I'm going to still go minus 200.
200. Okay, let me get one more shot at it. And then we actually do have a Commander's update on the back end. But the other one here is the other one they point to. And again, DeMaurice Smith is a new suspect. I've not heard that as any potential theory, but ESPN drops it on a, I think it was a random Wednesday they bring that out. Okay, so the other one here is someone by the name of Desiree Perez. She's the CEO, I think it's of Roc Nation, if you can Google check me here. But apparently behind the scenes, I had done some betting, I hadn't heard of it. But apparently Roc Nation, the NFL, did a social justice type deal. The number that Don Van Natta said on ESPN Daily was a $25 million contract between the NFL and Roc Nation to help the NFL with their social justice record. So Desiree Perez is someone that's the CEO of Roc Nation, and she's alleged to have leaked the emails to the New York Times to help get the NFL a win. So, hey, here are these bad emails. We should get as much publicity as we can about these bad emails. And then all of a sudden, you know, Goodell, you know, you gotta fire Gruden. That'll give you guys a big win. So, you know, and just to make matters more complicated, Dan Snyder, and I want to say this is allegedly, reportedly, if my memory serves, Dan Snyder and Roc Nation have the same law firm. So there is some synergies here. Conlon, are you taking Dan Snyder here, or are you taking the field at this point? I feel like I've knocked you off that number.
Yeah, you've definitely knocked me off the number. The Desiree Perez, I'm a little less inclined to believe. Again, if you're saying the Wickersham reporting along with the other gentleman, what is his DVR? I know is his initials.
Don Van Natta.
Don Van Natta, yes. And he's going to be a guest on the show upcoming, so I do apologize. But, yeah, at this point, the DeMaurice Smith stuff, if they're saying there's a good source that he's bragging about it, I got to find out this source, because that's – I mean, that is – if that's a guy that thinks he can do no wrong, and that's a guy – who I think is doing a little bit of, if he's bragging about poking the bear, that is John Gruden. Because I think John Gruden will fight tooth and nail to, one, clear his name, and maybe, who knows, hold a position in the league once again. So, you know what? It's a toss-up. I'm going to say I'm still going to give the favorite to Dan Snyder at minus 150, and I'll put the field at plus 145.
I think that's probably right. I mean, we'll still, like, people are still saying it's Snyder. The reason that people felt why your 480 number wasn't off. This is a story. We had a podcast come and went. We missed the whole news cycle, but there was word that while the Josh Harris group was getting closer to buying the team, that issues with indemnification with Dan Snyder, relating at least in part to this whole who leaked the emails, was holding up the sale. That seems to have cleared. I think it was like Thursday or Friday of last week, but now as of Monday, as we record this, tweet from former guest of the show, Nikki Javala. That's actually from Mark Mess. But the league has reached an agreement with Dan Snyder to resolve all remaining legal issues. So whatever it was, whether Snyder accepted ownership or whatnot, but there was a news cycle that Snyder was not. There was something here with indemnification that he was admitting that he was the leak. Conley, the only other thing I want to touch upon before we get off this topic, the Blackmail PowerPoint. Fantastic name. For those that didn't read the article, Dan Snyder was presented. I think the word was out that Beth Wilkinson had some dirt on Dan Snyder, and he was kind of going to go down. And there's a meeting between NFL executives and Dan Snyder you know, prepares a PowerPoint, it's according to Don and Seth. And that PowerPoint, people are okay, he's going to defend himself. He's going to have some good defense in here, some legal arguments. What does he have, Colin? They don't call it the blackmail PowerPoint for nothing. He's got dirt, emails and text messages on all these other NFL executives. So according to these reports, he doesn't even try to defend himself. He goes, don't look at me. Look over there. Look at that guy. That guy's worse. That guy's worse. That guy's worse. Blackmail PowerPoint. That guy, Dan Snyder.
Yeah, he's somebody you don't want around to be around during the holidays. I feel like he's a Scrooge. He's a Scrooge McDuck. He's just a not a pleasant individual.
You know what's funny is like I had that tweet and I put it out. It and I was like, I originally, and this is behind the scenes for our podcast listeners. You know, we've had some former Washington, you know, female employees in the show, so we got to be respectful of all things considered. But there was a part of me that was like, say what you want about Dan Snyder, but this blackmail PowerPoint, he's like, if I'm going down, like everyone's coming down with me.
This is one of the classics. This is one of the classics.
I kind of respected it.
I mean, dude, the guy stuck to his entire persona. He didn't want to he wasn't going to be a PowerPoint about here's the charities and things I've done for the NFL. No, listen, we're all a bunch of dirtbags, and I'm going to show you over there who's doing it just as much as I am.
I love it. I did, and I instead of tweeting that, but you guys behind the scenes to get the podcast stuff, but I wrote, if that doesn't scream guilty, I don't know what does. He doesn't even defend himself. He just acquiesces to the charges.
Just deflect blame.
It's like, Colin, if I called you, if I said you abuse little kids by throwing 7-year-olds out of baseball games as enough, and your response was, but Dan, you're a murderer. You know,
we've had conversations like that off the air. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we totally have that. But you not defending the charges basically tells me you're guilty. It doesn't mean I'm a good person because apparently I'm a murderer in this hypothetical. But I do think it screams guilty for Snyder and good riddance. Snyder's out of it.
Yep.
Anything else, Colin, on the Snyder situation? We're about ready to
very interested to see. We kind of got off on Snyder. Like I said, I think we've said that name so often that when we let it out of the bag, it kind of goes haywire on us because it's such a lucrative topic, if you will, in the market of sports law. But not much more. Instead, to see John Gruden kind of what the burn the NFL to the ground means to him. So I'll be very interested. You're having Dave Van Netta on about the article itself, so that should be a good listen. But let's go back to the college ranks.
I'm going
to
give you one other piece. Just give me a second. I know there's a lot.
You got to hurry up.
I hinted to it at the beginning. Just relax, dude. John Gruden right now has named the NFL as a party in that lawsuit. He's also named a number of John Does. I have a feeling he's going to add DeMarie Smith to that lawsuit and probably Desiree Perez as well. But listen, we got to tell you the next step. Okay, Colin, you're itching to get to Northwestern. Lay it up for me, my man.
Yeah, so Northwestern fires long-term football coach Pat Fitzgerald amid hazing allegations. That's all we can call them, right, Mr. Lawyer, at this point, is allegations until they're proven to be true. So there's a lot surrounding that. That's kind of the basic crux, but there was an ESPN article that came out. There was a change in the headline of an ESPN article. There's been quite the, it's been quite the scene in Evanston in the past 2 weeks or so, Pat Fitzgerald's been gone at this point. Has it been a full 2 weeks?
Like a week.
Two Fridays?
No, just a week.
Yeah. It feels like the media coverage, it feels like it's been longer. But no, I want to just say this, and I'll kick it to you for more of the legal expert analysis of this. Dan, do you happen to know who Northwestern football opens with this year?
Is it Nebraska?
It is not Nebraska. It is a Big Ten foe, though.
I have no idea. Tell me.
Who would have me giddy that Northwestern football program is in the middle of
it? Oh, I know. Rutgers, your boys over there. I got it.
September 3rd at noon Eastern.
Okay. Aside from Northwestern, let me read some stuff that came out since our last episode aired. So we were of the opinion, and there wasn't some groundbreaking analysis, but at the end of the day, whether Pat Fitzgerald knew or he didn't know, is once this report from the law firm finds that there was some type of activities that occurred, you know, it's certainly a fireable, I would think a fireable offense. So This is some notes from, I think it's the from the president, Michael Schill's letter explaining his firing of Pat Fitzgerald. I'm going to quote from certain portions of this, Colin. I want to see if this changes your opinion at all. So where okay. we left our listeners, if you listened to our last episode, we'll add a little bit of a cliffhanger. It's like, if he knew, he should be fired. If he didn't know, but he should know, he should be fired. The question was, and we had this conversation about oral contracts, whatnot. You guys can go back in our archives and listen to it. But the question was, why is Northwestern firing him now? Are they firing him from new information that came out between that Saturday and Sunday, Monday, when they did the about face? Or are they just trying to get a do-over of the six-month investigation, which and nothing new came out? Because if it's the latter, then there's this alleged breach of an oral contract when they said, hey, because of all this six-month shit, we're suspending you for 2 weeks. To then turn that into a firing is an issue on Northwestern's part. But let's go over this. He goes, okay. It says, the hazing, this is from President Schill. The hazing included forced participation, nudity, and sexualized acts of a degrading nature in clear violation of Northwestern policies. I am grateful that, to my knowledge, no student suffered physical injury as a result of these behaviors. So, Colin, that's not allegedly. That's Schill saying it happened. So that's mm-hmm. that's very important here. Number one. So the hazing was well known by many in the program, though the investigator failed to find any credible evidence that Coach Fitzgerald knew about it. Okay. As the entire six-month independent investigation was confidential, this is the main part here. I only recently learned of many of the details, including the complainant's identity. I spoke with his parents on Friday and the student on Sunday. Comma. 6 month investigation, 2 week suspension. Now, something happens. We go like yada, yada, yada. Now we have a firing and now he's gone. Colin, what I just read you, does that give you enough to say that, you know what, Northwestern, they did it right. They should have fired him exactly how they did it. 2 week suspension. And then, you know what, now we can fire him. Does anything convince you in there?
What convinces me is this President Schill is very worried about covering his own you know what, because I'm afraid that if this were to have come out, right, say 6 months down the line during the season, at the end of the season, whatever, and this alleged the identity of this individual comes out, he goes public, he goes on CBS Sunday morning, wherever else, and saying that all Pat Fitzgerald got for doing this and he knew about it was a two-week suspension prior to the season starting in early July, when really football activity is probably at a minimum for most of the year, at one of the lowest lulls in the season before we ramp up for training camp and stuff during the beginning of August. So if he goes out and says, and this is what Northwestern, the president, and that's what the board, this is the punishment they lend him, I think that Schill is also looking for a new position, because I think he's out as president. So I think he doesn't take significant action against Pat Fitzgerald, I think he also knows that if, look, this we try to cover this up anymore and go light on the punishment in today's day and age, that's not acceptable. So I think that's what really hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just – the whole letter, I mean, you can find it online. But he's saying, you know, from that Friday, he said, over the last 72 hours, he put I've spent a great deal of time in thought and discussions with people who love our university. This is later on in the letter. Since Friday, I have kept going back to what we reasonably should expect from our head coach, our faculty, campus leaders. So he's saying that he basically wanted a do-over, right? Yeah. And that's this little world, which – we'll get into legalese in a minute. But, like, he – I think there was a lot of blowback at the 2 week suspension.
That's ridiculous. Here. How do you move from 2 weeks to a firing? I mean, that's a massive gap.
Right. Right. And it doesn't, he's not seem, this is my reading of the letter. It doesn't seem like he's saying that there was new information. It sounds like he's saying he just started thinking about what the ramifications were and wanted to do over.
Which was my point exactly.
But this is where crisis management. There's other people online. We have actually a couple that follow the show. I won't shout them out here, but like PR management, crisis management, like, okay, you wanted a do-over. You wanted to do something about it. Now, why did you need to make a decision on Monday? Like, why did you need to wait 72 hours? Like, what would be the harm in now waiting like 2-3 weeks doing a second investigation or whatever you wanted to do? I have no idea how you want to do it. I don't want to pretend like we sit here and play Monday morning quarterback and say what the best option was. I know what the wrong option was. The wrong option was firing him 72 hours later and basically admitting in this writing, at least the way I'm reading, at least it's callable reading, that nothing new happened. So Fitzgerald's lawyers, and it's I think it's Winston Strawn is a law firm, a big law firm, a national law firm, big law. They're saying that under Chicago law, an oral contract was created. And an oral contract, we talked about a little bit on the last episode, was like, hey, if I'm given a 2-week suspension for 6 months of activity, you can't then turn around and fire me for that same conduct. You orally promised that that was the punishment I was getting for that conduct.
Yeah.
So yeah, Schill doesn't look great either. And no. From just a bookkeeping, record keeping perspective, you can't just fire someone so quickly like that. You have to do reports. You have to meet with people. The opportunity to fire him was on Friday when you got that 6-month investigation. And at that point, you kind of have to eat it. So, I'm leaning with you, Colin. I'm not usually one to say this. I guess you and I, we do agree on a lot of things. But here on Schill, I think he's so botched the handling of this. Unless Northwestern wants to stand by him to kind of save face and just make sure and stand by Schill, there are people walking around with free Fitzgerald shirts, fire Schill. I've been seeing those on Twitter.
That's nuts to me too, because again, I still don't believe if you're the head coach, you are the figurehead of the football program. And if all these other people had some knowledge of this going on, then you're really not doing a great job, because then somebody should bring this to your attention and you squash it immediately. And you say, look, here's what happened. Obviously that's a tough pill to swallow. However, I think this guy is kind of basically, his seat's a little warmer today too. I mean, especially with Fitzgerald and his lawyers presenting that argument of an oral contract being agreed upon. So it'll be interesting to see. How long do you think now, do you think Pat Fitzgerald ever coaches again in college football?
No, I don't. We talked a little bit of this on the Penn State stuff last episode, but it's like Joe Paterno, and I was at Penn State for a conference a couple months ago, and they had he's like erased. There's like nothing of Joe Paterno anywhere. And it's like Joe, and just like in a vacuum, Would a football coach know of like sexual abuse going on with non-players, like with young kids? Maybe, maybe not. I have no idea. But if you're going to tell me that there was hazing going on within the football team involving players,
amongst one another,
many people knew about it. The question is, from a knowledge perspective, it's hard to say that Fitzgerald didn't know about this. It's very hard. And you know, I think that's the tough part. He's not owning it. He's not saying he could have done better. He's not hearing whispers. He's saying he had no knowledge. So it's not like there's stories coming out now like, oh, it wasn't this serious. It was joking. It was trivial. He's saying he didn't know anything, which that's also not acceptable. So, I can't think of it. And maybe one of our listeners can shoot us a message after this. I can't think of an analogous situation where the guy, someone that was a part of this got brought back. Colin, I'm ready to move on to Hard Knocks if you're good.
Hard Knocks, yeah. We'll see. September 3rd against Rutgers. That's a noon on a Sunday. Maybe a lot more eyes will be tuned in.
No one's going to watch that.
We'll be tuned in.
No one's going to watch that.
I was already had it on my calendar, but maybe more eyes will see whoever they name as the head coach for Northwestern's football program. But all I know is they better wake up and hopefully focus on football, because Greg Schiano on that defense are coming to play. I'll be very excited to watch that. Yes, let's move forward to my other first love, that is the New York Football Jets, who are now the hosts of this year's 2023 HBO's Hard Knocks, of course, with NFL Films as well. But kind of against their will. I mean, they were one of the few teams that fit the requirements, not having a first-year head coach, not being a playoff team the year prior, and they certainly had all the intrigue of the offseason. A-Rod comes to town. And they were not all about the distractions of the cameras and stuff for Hard Knocks being on the premises there in Florham Park. But the NFL says, no way, no how. We still run the ship here, and we are going to have cameras on your site shooting our series. Now, one, do you think it was the Jets okay for them to kind of push back at all? Do you think they ever had a shot not to be selected? And B, do you think that the Jets counter move by not allowing them full access, which again, I still don't know what that means. I know one of the points was that they would not show, which is typical of an episode of Hard Knocks, players being released because they think that's classless, which whatever. Robert Saleh, runs a classy organization and football program, the Johnsons. So I don't know, a lot to unpack there. What are your thoughts about the Jets being forced into Hard Knocks?
I think the Hard Knocks, the division is like the first one of the offseason that really signals like we're up for our next season, like we're getting there. You know, I love Hard Knocks. I was, first of all, you haven't mentioned his name. I'm super excited for Aaron Rodgers to be on Hard Knocks. I mean, like,
yeah, dude, I said A-Rod.
He's just like meant coming, to be the protagonist.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. He's meant to be the protagonist of the show. I know there were some talks, and I think we talked about it on here, but that the Lions might have gotten a second go at it just because, you know, they became America's team after this. Yeah, I mean, I think that's those are the criteria. Someone's got to do it. It's a good moneymaker for the NFL. It's a good moneymaker for the product. There are people like me. I'm not a Lions fan, but I watched every episode of Hard Knocks.
No, and I fell in love with Dan Campbell.
Did you watch the in-season with the Cardinals last year? I didn't watch that.
No, that was like in-season Hard Knocks, though.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, no, that stunk. And the Colts one sucked, too.
The in-season Colts or the year before the Colts?
No, the in-season Colts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Jets got to deal with it. I think football is better when the Jets are good. Maybe that just me and you being in New York. But I feel like these major media markets, like the Giants kind of, you know, Giants kind of surprised people last year, making the playoffs in a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I think there's a buzz when the New York teams, and I don't think, I'm usually pretty good not being so New York biased, but I feel like there's a buzz around football when the LA team or the California teams, New York teams are good. So I'm all for it. I don't know if the Jets are going to be any good, but I'm all for the Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers quarterback controversy. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I guarantee you that's not the first storyline this year on Hard Knocks. Maybe that's a lull in one of the weeks of that they have a down week for the show. But the first episode's August 8th, which I think is right around the same time. I don't know if I think the Hall of Fame game is before that. So they might actually have some game tape that they can show out there. I don't think Aaron Rodgers will play in the Hall of Fame game. But, yeah, so I think it's interesting. The Jets being good is certainly good for the NFL. The Giants being good as well. But the Jets have as much intrigue. Has there been a buzz around a team, much like I'll throw all the way back to the Eagles when they brought in Vince Young and Nnamdi Asamoah, and they called it the Dream Team. With DeSean Jackson, they had Jeremy Maclin at the time, and they severely underperformed. I think that was either 2007, 2008, maybe later than that, actually, because Vince Young now, it would have been later than that, it would have been in the early 2010s, regardless. But I remember there was a buzz around that team because they had a bunch of stars and they flopped. The Jets, there's no way the Jets are flopping this year. It's Super Bowl or bust, and I will be there at MetLife Stadium at least once or twice this year, repping it. So I'm going to say right now, the Jets on today's July 17th, Colin Farrell predicts the Jets win at least 13 games next year.
13 games? What are you sick? 13 games? 13
games. I got the Belmar flu. I got the Jets flu.
Okay, I'm slamming the under, but you're not on the clock yet for your bet. So
no, I'm not. Fine. But yeah. As long as there's no major injury to Rodgers or say.
As long as there's no major injury to everyone, okay. No, just relax. Jets aren't going to win 13 games. I don't have anything else to add on the Hard Knock stuff. I'm going to tune in. I don't feel bad for the Jets at all. It is what it is. Okay, Colin, let's get out here on this. One more reminder, our show sponsored by our friends over at Better Edge. The best way, and I mean this, the best way to support our show is to use Better Edge. You can use our promo code CONDUCT, or if you want to be like Conlin, you can use our promo code Conlin. That's it. Conlin or Conduct, or you can use both. I don't know what happens if you use both. Maybe
I don't know. You might just unlock a secret door to all my winners if you use both. Yeah, who knows?
But you and I are going to get back more in the weekly betting with our friends over there at Better Edge. But definitely check us out. We'll check them out. I got a lot of nice birthday wishes from people on LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter, and everyone saying they listen to the show. Those people that are such diehards wish me happy birthday, which I love. Please do us a favor and sign up for Better Edge. We'll put our Conlin, you'll put the promo code, put your promo code Conlin in the show notes.
Yeah.
People can use it, but that would really help us support our show and support our sponsors here. Okay. Let's end on this. What to watch for. We haven't done in a while. Conlin, I'm going to take the leadoff spot here. You ready for this?
Yep.
In the last, I probably watch at least one documentary a week. Most of the time it's sports. Sometimes it's not. I haven't done this in a while. I have two good ones for you. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
I got two American Gladiators documentaries for you. So Netflix has one. I think they call it like the unauthorized version of American Gladiators. And then ESPN did one either for 30 for 30 or E60.
Mm-hmm.
The ESPN one, well, listen, I hope this is not slanderous. I know Don's coming on here at the next episode, so hopefully he doesn't yell at me. The ESPN one is good. Good. The Netflix one is great. Watch the Netflix one first. That's like a real legitimate. They're doing interviews with the gladiators. It's kind of an upbeat piece, how everyone kind of survived and was doing great and things are hunky-dory and the show did really well. It was international, got in syndication. The ESPN one, I don't know if this was like a Fyre Festival type situation. They had two documentaries that came out like the exact same week, and they had to come up with a different spin for the ESPN one. The ESPN one, guys, got very grim. Got very grim. These are polar opposite documentaries. If you watch the ESPN one, everyone is handicapped and crippled, and the show director of Gladiator stole it from another guy, and that guy, you know, has spent his whole life chasing the fame that he failed and he wasn't paid.
So which really one did you dark. Prefer? Which one did you prefer? Which one do you think was more authentic?
The Netflix one was great. The ESPN one, they spent the whole part two just chasing down the original creator of Gladiators. Listen, I turn on for my documentaries. I turn on for some intrigue. So I was into the story of who this random creator was that he gypped out of the money, but it wasn't a Gladiator story. It was a story about someone who had their idea stolen. And it wasn't, if you're going to pick one, pick the Netflix one. But I think the Netflix one was great. People are talking about Gladiators. Colin, it was like, that was like the first, you know, it was like, are you familiar with what Global Guts is from Nickelodeon? Do you know what that show is, or you're too young for that?
No, too young.
It's like American Ninja Warrior, but they did one for kids. And that was like, now that I'm older, like they obviously just ripped off American Gladiators, but it was great. It was very good. Okay, Colin, what do you got for what to watch for? I know you're a big TV guy.
You
what
said
you
the better one was on Netflix. So this show is also on Netflix. This is Netflix's first shot at what would be a similar, very similar to Hard Knocks. That's called Quarterback, where the first season is 8 episodes. It details the lives and day-to-day lives and game lives of 3 quarterbacks who are Kirk Cousins, Patrick Mahomes, and Marcus Mariota. 3 guys in very different points in their careers. They started these shows all being starting quarterbacks. One did not foresee that to come through the end of the show. That should be easy to be said who that was. Marcus Mariota leaving.
Mariota.
Yeah. But okay. So yes, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was very interesting. I think they were all good guys to be featured on it, even though they're not the 3 of the slashiest names that come to mind, other than Mahomes, really. I thought I kind of wasn't a huge fan of his attitude in general, a little bit more cocky than I thought he was. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league, so he's every right to be, but a little bit more arrogant than I thought of the quiet confidence that I expected him to have. Kirk Cousins, I liked a lot. Kirk Cousins definitely into the whole intrinsics and stuff of the game itself, obviously prepares very well. And then Mariota, he kind of reminded me of how great he was in college. They did a little like feature with him when he was at Oregon. Marcus Mariota, obviously he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Was one of the best college players in the game when he was at Oregon, leading the Ducks. So I thought they all did a really good job. So Quarterback on Netflix, go check it out. Very much worth. I binge watched all 8 episodes in one day. I'm not proud to say that, but yeah, I finished it in one day.
How is this is the real question. How is the Brittany Mahomes edit?
Yeah, so they she's definitely good at it? She was featured early on, and she's again. For more people seeing like how is he with her, I could now see after watching him a little bit, I could see how he's with her because his energy is more. Similar than I thought I expected it to be. Luckily, though, if you're worried about turning your TV on and hearing Jackson Mahomes actually say a word, he does not. He's in a few scenes, but he does not. They don't actually give him a microphone. Thank God for everybody's intelligence level going in.
Is he in the scenes that he's in? Are they visiting him in jail and talking through like?
No, they are not. But I'm hoping to see a teaser of that out for season 2, maybe soon.
You're hoping to see a teaser of him in prison.
Yes, that dirtbag. Yeah.
No, I'm only half kidding. So good stuff with Quarterback. It's on my list. The other one on my list, I haven't watched yet, but I heard really good things about the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix. So
I did hear that was good too. Yes.
I'm a big documentary guy. I think that's it. The one that I watched, I got last one. We'll close today, Colin. I watched the Subway, the Jared Catch a Predator from. Did you watch this on HBO?
I have watched that. I do kind of want to watch that.
Look at me. Listen to me. Don't watch it.
Years you can watch it before. No. Like, when is Jersey Mike's going to officially put Subway out to pasture? Like, it's coming. It's coming in the next 10 years.
It probably will. Listen, if you're going to watch the Subway one, you either have to talk to me, you got to talk to a friend that watched it. You're going to need a lot of trigger warnings. There's a lot of gross shit. I guess we can curse you because I just did it. A lot of gross stuff in that documentary, which I was not ready for. And you have to
gross it. About Subway or gross about Jared?
Gross about Jared and other people. this gets into some gross, we'll say, allegations. It's not about the food. The food is what it is. If I like Subway, I still go to Subway. But
that
some
might
of the
be the
stuff they're
worst part
talking
of
about
your
here,
show, Ed.
I was not ready. I was not ready for some of the stuff in that
All right,
documentary.
see,
And
now you just
I had
kind
to
of sold
finish
me
it.
on it too now, because it's like, now I do want to see. Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
All
You're
right.
gonna pop on here next week. You're gonna watch it, and you're gonna be like, "You were right. I shouldn't have watched it." Okay,
Yeah.
but let's call it a day here, Colin.
Okay.
For just the show notes, I spoke to Taryn and Mike. They're going to be covering the Tennessee stuff on their podcast. Some of the comments from Commissioner Greg Sankey on the NIL Hour. Those guys have been
Cool.
doing a really good job each and every week, holding down the fort. Colin, I think we can call it a day. Excellent
Yep.
job, my man. And yeah, for everyone over here, Conduct Detrimental, we appreciate you as always tuning in as we march towards 500,000 lifetime downloads.
Wow.
Crazy number, but
That
yeah,
is wild.
It's pretty crazy, but we appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. And yeah, that'll do it here for us next time, Conduct Detrimental. And we'll see you next time on another episode of Conduct.